There was a case called Swanson a while back. Let me talk about Swanson for 2 seconds. Decided in 1997. And everybody quotes Swanson. What happened is Swanson was a toolmaker. I've actually seen a carpenter's square made by Swanson. And Swanson set up a second company. He had his tool manufacturing company. And he had a second company where he sold his tools overseas. The overseas company would get paid a commission from the manufacturing company for all of the tools that it sold. Swanson had structured the second company so that his IRA, his Roth IRA, owned the stock in the second company. Well, the second company didn't have any expenses to speak of, and it racked up a lot of commissions, and over a few years, Swanson put hundreds of thousands of dollars in his Roth IRA, because at the end of the year, the company would just pay a dividend out, actually a distribution, it was an S corporation, and the IRA would get all of the money, all of the profit. And the IRS came back in and said, no, you can't do that. Well, Mr. Swanson fought them. And the short story is he won. He won big. The IRS got slapped by the courts. In fact, the courts said that the IRS had absolutely no grounds to even bring the case on. And they made the IRS pay all of Swanson's legal fees, which is absolutely unheard of. So everybody cites Swanson. And there are dozens and dozens of self-directed IRA trustees that are out there, and they say, you can invest in your own business. You can have checkbook authority over your IRA. As soon as you hear the words checkbook authority, you run the other way, because that isn't what Swanson says at all. These guys have you set up an LLC. They have the IRA by the membership interest in the LLC. Then you conduct your business, you buy real estate, whatever it is you do with this LLC, and all of the profit goes back to the IRA. Well, in the meantime, the IRA has bought all of the stock or membership interests in the LLC, so the IRA money is really in the LLC. You're the manager of the LLC. To spend your IRA money, all you have to do is write a check. Checkbook authority. This is highly illegal. It isn't going to work. They cite the law bad. Don't do it, guys. And that was just a little aside. Here's the tax tip. You need to teach your kids, and you need to learn about an IRA. I was driving with a guy the other day, and he had a brand new car. And I knew the guy, and he didn't have a lot of money. And I said, gee, where'd you get the money to buy the car? And he said, I took the money out of my IRA. The guy wasn't of age, which meant he paid the tax and the penalty, and he bought his car. And I just absolutely cringed, because that $20,000 car in reality cost that man over $100,000. You can put the numbers to it, guys. IRA money is sacred. And you need to know that, and your children need to know it. Here's the tax tip. When you die, make certain that your children understand IRAs. They do not take the money out of the IRA and go to Hawaii. They leave the money in the IRA, and they do what's called stretch the IRA. They get an inherited IRA. If they inherit the IRA and they leave the money in the IRA, then it's going to grow without the tax over their lifetime. Yeah, there are rules. They've got to take required minimum distributions and a bunch of stuff, but they can leave the money in and it grows. Look at the examples in the written materials I have for you. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars that they will spend over their lifetime, even with a very moderate IRA or 401k. You can roll the 401k into an IRA, and then the kids can stretch it over their lifetime. This is a big deal, guys. This is millions and millions of dollars to your family. Let's look at another tax tip. I want to just point out retirement plans and benefit plans to you for 2 seconds. You're familiar with your retirement plan, your 401k, your SEP, self-employment plan, but you may not be as familiar with the benefit plans. Particularly, I want to talk about the HSA and the HRA for 2 seconds. All of the benefit plans and retirement plans are governed by a law called ERISA, Employee Retirement Income Security Act. There are two parts, retirement, benefits. They're not the same thing, guys. The fly in the ointment with all of the benefit plans and retirement savings plans is if you're the business owner, you have to let the employees share in the deal. And it may be just flat out too expensive for you. However, if you've only got a couple of employees and you really want to take good care of them, by all means, let's use these plans because whatever your company contributes to these plans comes out above the line. It doesn't go to your adjusted gross income. And just as a little aside note, these plans are 100% asset protected. There isn't a judge in the United States that can take your HRA money or your 401k money away from you. You can go bankrupt, you can get sick, the IRS can come after you. I don't care. The money's not going anywhere. This is a lot better than offshore. I mean, I have had people bury millions of dollars into benefit plans just for the asset protection. We're interested in taxes here, so let's look at the tax aspect of an HRA. It's called a health reimbursement agreement or a health reimbursement arrangement. I don't use HSAs for two reasons. One, you're extremely limited as to the amount that you can put into it. And two, you have to have an independent trustee, the insurance company. They control the money. And I don't like the insurance companies controlling my money. So I'm going to teach you how to use an HRA. First thing you do is you have to have written plans. By the way, you can't do this. Your company has to do this. So the company signs all the documents. Then they go down and they set up a checking account, same bank that the regular checking account is in. The company moves money from the regular checking account to the HRA checking account. How much money? There is no limit. The company gets 100% tax deduction for every dime that it moves from its general checking account to the HRA checking account. So last year I moved $25,000 from my company to my HRA account. You might note that that's $25,000 that would have filtered down through my little company. I would have paid tax on it at the end of the year. That $25,000 came out above the line. So I saved tax on $25,000 and it lowered my adjusted gross income. So you've got $25,000 in your checking account. What can you do with it? Well, you reimburse yourself for all health-related expenses. What's a health-related expense? Well, the doctor, the deductible, the insurance premiums, the eyeglasses, the dental work, the prescriptions. Obamacare took out over the counters. You pay for all health-related expenses. In order to have it paid for, what you do is you go out, you incur the cost, you get the receipts, you put them in an envelope, monthly, annually, weekly, I don't care. You reimburse yourself out of the checking account for those receipts. That money comes to you tax-free. It's not reported, no 1099, no nothing, tax-free. You've just now made all of your health-related expenses not deductible. No 8% of adjusted gross income limits, none of that. You've made all of your health-related expenses tax-free. And the neat thing about it is there's no use-it-or-lose-it rule here. So last year I reimbursed myself $8,000. Out of my $25,000, that leaves $17,000 in the account. I can invest it anywhere I want. It grows without a tax. So for the next 10 years, I'm putting my $25,000 away every year. I retire, shut my company down 10 years from now. There's $300,000 in that account. What can I do with it? No, you can't do whatever you want with it. You reimburse yourself for health-related expenses. But is long-term care health-related? Or the law says this is a benefit plan. It's not a retirement plan. The company can terminate the plan. So who's the company? You. The company can terminate the plan at any time. When the company terminates the plan, all the money in the plan comes to the then participating employees as income. you have to pay income tax on it. But wait. You got to pay income tax on your standard IRA money when you get it back, or your 401k money when you get it back. Can you see what we just did? This is neat law, guys. By the way, about a year or two ago, they did put a fly in the ointment. They made it so that a small business owner could not participate. The only way you can participate when you own the company is to have it be a C corporation. So I have a C corporation. I run all my employees and my salaries through the C corporation. I make my money in an S corporation. I only have enough to pay the salaries and stuff in the C corporation. Oh, and the HRA, okay? The rest of the money is kept in the S corporation. Actually, it's an LLC taxed as an S corporation, and it's an LLC taxed as a C corporation. It's the taxation that we're concerned about. So, benefit plans, employees, C corporation. All the other money runs through the S corporation. The S corporation pays enough money into the C corporation to pay for the benefit plans. They've made it harder, but they haven't made it so that you can't do it. These are neat guys. Whatever's in that account, 100% asset protected. And you just save tax on 25. Maybe you only did 5,000 this year. You save tax on 5,000. And all of the medical reimbursements that you did came out tax-free, not tax-deductible. Big difference. Let me give you a tax tip for the future. Let's talk about non-qualified plans for 2 seconds. These are not ERISA plans, but they're retirement plans. In an ERISA plan, yeah, it's qualified, but you have to worry about the discrimination. All the employees have to participate. You can only put a limited amount of money each year into the plan. And as a little business guy, if you are making a lot of money, you want to put as much money away as you can every year. And of course, there are all the restrictions. You can't take the money out until you're age 59 and a half, and then you stand on your head and swing your leg around, and you have to take required minimum distributions, all this stuff. I mean, blah, 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 blah. Let's do a non-qualified plan. You can put as much money as you want into a non-qualified plan every year, and the employees don't have to participate. There aren't any age restrictions. There are no required minimum distributions, and you're going, man, this sounds great. Well, the problem is you have to do it with an after-tax dollar. But wait, you got to do a Roth IRA with an after-tax dollar. The short story is we can make a non-qualified plan absolutely mimic a Roth IRA. You don't get a tax deduction for putting the money in, but you can take the money out tax-free. That's a pretty good deal, guys. Now, I'm going to say a dirty word. Hang on to your chair. A non-qualified plan is a cash value life insurance policy. And everybody just gagged. And I'm going to agree with you. 98% of these plans are garbage. Not because the laws aren't there, not because it doesn't work, but because the life insurance companies, how do I say this politely, screw you? If you're setting up a non-qualified plan, you've got to look at the cost of insurance. That's the fly in the ointment. That's the difference between this and a Roth IRA. How much does the insurance cost? Now, when you're doing this, you want minimum life insurance, so you have minimum cost. You want maximum to go into the savings. The insurance agent doesn't get paid on what you put into savings. They only get paid on what you put into life insurance. So, if you're going to put $1,000 a month into the plan, they're going to structure it so you put $800 into the insurance and $200 into the savings. That's not what you want. You want $200 into the insurance and $800 into the savings. But then they don't make any money. There are a lot of things you have to know if you're going to do a non-qualified plan so that you don't get hosed. Make certain that you get what is called guideline premium. There will be a place on the illustration that they run for you that says guideline premium. If that's not what you're getting, one, you know you're getting hosed. The second place you get hosed is the cost of borrowing. What you're going to do is you're going to put the money into the life insurance. It's going to grow tax deferred, tax free over the years, and then you're going to borrow the money back out. if you borrow the money, there is no tax because it's not income, it's borrowed money. And there are a bunch of rules and stuff that we've got to follow here, but just play along with me for a minute. You borrow the money back out, no tax. You spend it. When you die, the life insurance pays all of the money back, plus we hope a little to the family. But the bottom line is you now have basically a Roth IRA that you put as much money into every year as you want. Yes, you do have to buy some insurance, otherwise it's what's called a MEC, a modified endowment contract, and we can get real complicated here and I can snow you very quickly. But that's not the issue. I said borrowing was a big deal. How do you borrow it back out? And your insurance agent's going to put his arm around you and he's going to say, well, it only costs you 1% to borrow your money back. And then he's going to say, well, where could you get a loan for 1%? My answer to that is, yeah, but it's my money. You need to have a contract which promises you in writing a zero wash loan. You don't pay any interest. Actually, you pay interest, but they pay you back interest, so it's a zero wash. A lot of the companies will say, our practice is a zero wash. Well, I don't give a damn about your practice. I want to see it in contract, in writing. And there are only a couple of those that are doing this. We have read hundreds of insurance contracts in this office. I know, that's sick. But there's a lot of money on the line, and you got to read the contract and understand it. But these non-qualified plans are neat. If you don't die, the family gets the life insurance and possibly even parts of the cash value. If you do die and don't cash in on your retirement, the family gets the life insurance. They are basically made whole. It's actually a good deal if it's done right. Insurance companies have huge lobbies in Washington, D.C. Like it or not, insurance, life insurance, is a sweetheart of the IRS code. If you know how to use it, you can make a lot of money. Let's go to the next tax tip. The kids are going to like this one, too. The short story is you're going to pay your kids. If you are filing a Schedule C, that means you have a company, it's a sole proprietorship, or it's an LLC taxed as a sole proprietorship, you're filing a Schedule E. You can pay your children money out of the company that goes to the children, and you don't have to pay any of the social taxes on it, the Social Security, FICA, Medicare, any of that stuff, all right? It's just under the boards. They do have to pay income tax on it. You get a deduction, of course, in the company, but you don't have to pay, nobody pays any of the social taxes. That's a big deal. You've gotten money to the children. They're in a lower tax bracket. If they are earning the money, they can make as much money as they want. They pay it in their own tax bracket. The catch is you have to pay them a reasonable salary. And it's really hard to pay $3,000 a year to your four-year-old for emptying the trash and sweeping the office out. That doesn't work too well. So how do you get money down to the three-year-old as income? Well, you pay them a royalty. A royalty on what? Well, you have them pose for your internet advertising, and you pay them a royalty for their modeling. Can you see what just happened here? By the way, go down and pay for modeling and see how much it costs. It ain't cheap. So you have your cute little kid or grandchild or whoever pose for your internet advertisements, and then you pay them royalty. It's a neat way to get money out of the company down to the kids. If you're paying them under like $2,800, they don't even file tax on it, but you get to deduct it from your company. So it works really well. Not big, but hey, $500 here, $1,000 there, it's money, and it adds up. Here's another tax tip. It's a related tax tip to paying your kids. Remember I said one of the ways that we could do tax planning was shift income, make somebody else pay the tax? Okay, how do we do that? Well, if you've got children or if you've got parents that you are supporting financially, let's get some of your earned income down to them and make it so they're taxed on it in a lower tax bracket. Now, I said the word earned income. You can't actually shift earned income. We're going to have to change the nature of the tax because only passive income will work for shifting. And illustration of this, There was a big steel plant in the city where I grew up. And I was a young lawyer, and I paid notice of this. One of the big financial planners in town went into the steel plant. They got into the union. And they said, hey, look, what we're going to do is we're going to set each one of your employees up with a trust. And then we're going to take your paycheck. We'll have the steel plant pay the paycheck to the trust. And then the trust will distribute that down to the children or the parents or whoever you want to support. And they'll pay the tax on it. No. That was earned income. They did this for a year or two. And the IRS came in and had a heyday. Only passive income. So, let's assume you've got your practice, your dental practice, or you've got your business, whatever it is. You have equipment that you use in that business. I know you do. I'm a lawyer. I got a desk, file cabinet, computer, and a Xerox machine. You've all got equipment. Stuff that you have to have in order to make your money. What you're going to do is you run that through your depreciation, 3 years, 5 years, 2 years, write it off in the first year, I don't care. Once it's depreciated, we can do things with it. Actually, you can do it before it's depreciated, but you want the depreciation. So what you're going to do is you're going to set up a second company, another LLC. It's going to be the family LLC. And each one of the kids or the parents, they're going to be members. They're going to be owners of this LLC. When the equipment is depreciated, you move the equipment over into the second company. Well, you still need your Xerox machine. Even though it's been depreciated, technically it's worth nothing on the books. So we transfer it for very low price to the second company. And since you've still got to have it, though, why don't you rent it back from the second company? So you rent the Xerox machine. I mean, you can go rent it from the local office supply store, can't you? Rent it from the second company. Your company, your principal practice or company, then pays the rent. They get a tax deduction for paying the rent. That rent goes to the second company and filters down through the company to the members, stockholders, the people who own the company. It comes through to them on a pass-through, K-1, if it's set up as a general partnership or an S corporation, and they pay the tax. If they're in a lower tax bracket than you are, then great. The family has just saved money. If the kids are little, keep the distributions or keep what they get down to the $2,800, $3,000 so that they don't even have to file a tax return. You've got three kids. You move $3,000 out. You moved $9,000 out of your principal company down to the family, basically tax-free. And by the way, this second company works out to be a great asset protection tool because they can't sue you and get the equipment anymore. You go bankrupt, business goes bankrupt, the equipment's still sitting there next week, you simply rent it again and start doing business. You just protected the way you make your income. What we're doing tax-wise is we're converting earned income into passive income. Even if you don't have kids, you can set up the second company. You can be the owner of the second company. Your wife, husband could be the owner of the second company. When your principal company pays the rent, we are now converting earned income into passive income. Yes, you still have to pay the tax on it, but you pay it as passive income. You don't have to pay the self-employment tax, all of the social taxes, and everything on the money that passes through the second company. We just saved you like 13, 15% on all that money that you moved through the second company. Are these tax tips that you can see how you can use? Yes, it takes a little bit of effort to set all of these things up, but you can't work 20% harder in your little company. If we can do these things and it only takes you maybe 2 or 3 days a year worth of time and you get an extra 20% on your bottom line that you can spend, isn't that worth it? Let's get to the big boy tax tips. In order to play this game, you've got to have extra money. Money that you don't need to live on, but you don't want to give it to the IRS either. There are several techniques that we have. One of them is called developmental drilling. The IRS gives big tax advantages to people who are willing to search for oil and gas. Well, I wouldn't recommend that you go out and wildcat. That means that you just stick a hole down in the ground someplace and hope that you get oil. We're going to do developmental drilling. That means the oil field has already been established, and all we're going to do is sink wells down into the oil field to get the oil out. Well, guess what? The tax advantages for drilling are the same. And with those tax advantages, you can cut your AGI, your adjusted gross income, big time. If you've got an extra $100,000 that you don't need to live on, but you're going to be paying tax on it, fine, let's put it into a developmental oil and gas drilling program. You put the $100,000 in, you're going to write off about $85,000 straight off the top of your taxes. So you just lowered your AGI by $85,000. That's cutting your AGI big time. This is kind of a, I can't have it, you can't have it either. I don't have the money anymore. It's invested in the developmental drilling. And by the way, the risk is pretty low because we're actually investing in a program that has hundreds of wells. You're buying a tiny piece of 100 oil and gas wells. Yeah, three or four of them, five of them aren't going to work out, even though they're in developmental fields. But spread over 100, I can afford that risk. So my money's tied up, but I didn't have to pay tax on it, and it lowered my adjusted gross income. Came right off the top, basically. Over the years, I'm going to get a return on that money. You know, I've gotten some pretty good returns in the last years. So I can't have it, but you can't have it either, Mr. IRS, and I get to make money with it. Of course, I have to pay tax on the money that I make, but hey, I'm making a good return on money that I would have otherwise given to the IRS anyway. There are a lot of things that we haven't talked about that you could still do to affect how much taxes you pay. For example, we haven't talked about TICs at all, tenants in common. It's a way of investing in real estate. It's pretty good, and you get some big tax advantages. There are a lot of specific business tricks that we haven't talked about, and there's also a lot of scams that we haven't talked about. So you need to be careful. The tips that I've given you here, tips that you aren't going to find in the magazines at the end of the year where they say, don't forget your 10 tax tips. These are things that you have to do all through the year in order to generate the numbers to give your accountant at the end of the year. So let's start doing it. But our goal's realistic. Reduce your taxes by 20%. Like I said, figure out how much that means to you. And let's get it done. I'm not just going to leave you out there hanging. If you don't have some sort of a legal structure, then let's put one in place. The first one that you need for taxes is probably the limited liability company. We've talked about that. I don't care what you do. Like I say, sell hot dogs on the 4th of July. Do your family genealogy. Start a family club. Do something that can justify having an LLC. Once you have the LLC, then we can start to channel money through it. We can shift income. We can do all sorts of things. You've got to maintain the formalities. You've got to have your operating agreement. You've got to have your annual meetings and minutes and all of this stuff. And I understand your state law says you don't have to do this stuff. Well, yeah, that may be technically true on paper. However, when you get into court, the first thing the opponent is going to do is say, okay, this isn't a real company. This is just this guy's alter ego. It's now up to you to prove that it's not your alter ego. The way you do that is by showing that you followed the formalities of the company. Get that down to where you're only going to spend about 2 hours a year. We can do it, and you've got to do it. Whether you have a corporation, LLC, it doesn't matter for the taxes because remember, you can tax your LLC as a corporation all the same as far as the IRS is concerned. We can get you double asset protection. What happens if you get in trouble? How do you get in trouble? You get sued. Divorce is a lawsuit. That's personal, not business. The kid's jumping on the trampoline in the backyard and breaks his neck. That's personal. That's not business. You hit somebody in a crosswalk. Yeah, but it goes a lot further than that. 56% of all bankruptcies are illness. You just get sick. you make a bad real estate investment. That's taken down a lot of people these days. These are all personal things. They're not business things. The question is, are you going to lose your company because of a personal problem? Let's beef up the asset protection, get the corporate shield, and protect the company from what happens in your personal life, because your company is maybe your biggest asset. All of that sort of stuff. You can't do this as an individual. You have to use these legal tools in order to accomplish the tax planning that you want to get done. We're in this battle together, and I'm happy to help any way I can. This is Lee Phillip. We will see you later. Thank you.